हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, so starting Chaitanopanayanam, songs of the Acharyas. Okay, so on Viraha Astika. Eight prayers in separate. So basically what this is here, we're dealing with now, is all the songs that Srila Prabhupada gave purports to. So he sang a lot of songs and he would speak about them there, you know, after having sung them. You know, you find that on the tapes and everything like that. So Viraha Astaka, eight prayers and separations from my spiritual master by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. December 1958, translated from Bengali into English by Dasarath Sutadas. First octet, the flood of Krishna Prema. One, oh Srila Prabhupada, right? So he's talking about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, right? You personally suffer to see the suffering of the fallen conditioned souls. On this anniversary of your separation, I am utterly despondent. The ocean of mercy was previously held back by a dam, but Lord Nityananda personally cut a channel in it and thereby released the outpouring flood of pure ecstatic love of God. From Lochandas' song, Nitai Gunamani, footnote 2. Is this something from 1? Oh, wait a minute. We have a foreword. And it's by Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Before we get into the song. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness was established in New York in the year 1966. After my arrival in the United States on September of 1965, I personally underwent a difficult struggle, and in 1966, I rented a storefront and apartment in 26 Second Avenue. When ISKCON was incorporated, a boy named Chuck Barnett joined me, along with a few others, to form the nucleus for the institution's future development. At this time, I used to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra underneath a tree in Tompkins Square Park in New York. Shriman Barnett and another boy, Bruce, were the first to begin dancing in front of me, and others in the audience joined them. The New York Times published a report of this with our picture and a headline declaring that I was attracting the younger generation of the Hare Krishna movement. Later, both Chuck and Bruce, along with others, became my initiated disciples. And still later in 1970, both took sannyas, receiving the names Achyutananda Swami and Brahmananda Swami. Now Brahmananda is preaching in Africa and Achyutananda is preaching in India. When I became sick in 1967, I left the United States and returned to India. Sriman Achyutananda could not remain separated from me, and therefore, he joined me in Vrindavan, where I was staying there. Since then, Achyutananda Swami has worked very hard in India. He has preached extensively in Calcutta and other parts of Bengal. He has learned how to sing in Bengali and play mridanga like an expert professional. And now he has compiled this book of Bengali songs with English translations, explanations. I am greatly pleased to see his collection of songs composed by Thakur Bhakti Vinod, Narottam Das, and other great acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava community, Sampradaya. Songs composed by the acharyas are not ordinary songs. When chanted by pure Vaishnavas who follow the rules and regulations of Vaishnava character, they are actually effective in awakening the Krishna consciousness, dormant in every living entity. I have advised Sriman Achyutananda Swami to sing more songs of the Vaishnava Padavali and record them in books so that my disciples and others in the Western countries may take advantage of this chanting and thus advance the Krishna consciousness more and more. I confer all my blessings upon Achyutananda Swami for his genuine attempt to advance the Krishna consciousness. I hope you will thus advance more and more and never be hampered by mine. We should always remember the danger of Maya's influence and endeavor to save ourselves from her great power. We must therefore always emerge in the transcendental mellow of Kirtan Ras. For Kirtan Ras is the safest situation within this material world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, 1974. Footnote 1. Okay, so this was this is the foreword to the original songbook that Achyutananda Maharaj put together. Like that. So footnote. In our Krishna conscious movement, it has been very difficult to disassociate ourselves from women in our society, especially in Western countries. We are therefore sometimes criticized, but nonetheless, we are trying to give everyone a chance to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and thus advance spiritually. If we stick to the principle of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly, then by the grace of Srila Haridas Thakur, we may be saved from the allurement of women. However, if we are not very strict in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we may at any time fall victim to women. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.3 purport. One whose mind is peaceful is agitated by certain drives, especially sex desire. Even though he be in the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a man will become a victim of women, will fall down even in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya is so strong that unless one is determined not to fall victim, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot give him protection. Right? Because Krishna reciprocates, we have our free will. And so Krishna is not going to get in the way of that free will. It does, you know, one may complain, no, but I do this and that, I don't get the results or I suffer. But he doesn't get in the way of the reactions for your work. You perform a particular activity that produces a particular result. We may have our idea of what that result may be. But the modes of nature, then they have what's the actual natural position of what the results will be. So that will come. But Krishna says, as you surrender to him, then he reciprocates. So if you are determined to not become a victim of Maya, then he'll give his support, and then one will not be distracted. But if not, then one can get distracted. So that's the point, is that by surrendering to the Lord, then every devotee can cross beyond the material anxiety of the cause and effects that are there from our activities, and and come to the shelter of Krishna. So it's not that he can't do something, it's that he's made the point as the living entity is independent, has that small independence. As they use it, he'll reciprocate. Right? So this answers the question on why bad things are happening and why God doesn't control everything. He's controlling everything. It's his world. But at the same time, as if we don't take shelter of the Lord, then we see is that we become distracted by Maya. Right? The Supreme Lord and his representative always want to give protection, but a person must take advantage of their personal contact. One thinks that the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative is an ordinary man. He will certainly fall down. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want a person like Kala Krishna Das to accompany. He wanted someone who was determined, who had a peaceful mind, that was not agitated by ulterior motives. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 17:14. So he was with the Lord, the personal servant, but he got distracted, right? You know, because we see is that it was mentioned in these Bhattaharis, the only way they expand is through catching people. And so then they saw him there and they tried to catch him and tried to make him part of their program. And so the Lord saved him from that particular distraction, but then sent him back to he was no longer, his assistant. Okay, so then we were saying in the Viraha Astika, the Lord Nityananda personally cut a channel in this ocean of mercy and release that outpouring flood of pure static love. Footnote 2. Nitai Gunamani Amar Nitai Gunamani. This is a song sung by Lochan Das Thakur, almost a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has got many books on the life and precepts of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's saying that Lord Nityananda is full of good qualities, Gunamani. Gunamani means the jewel of all qualities, right? So here we see as the qualities come out because it's Nityananda is the one who he is arranging. He's the one who sees that all the different activities are going on nicely in service to please Lord Chaitanya, like that. So we see here his qualities is what makes for action. So we may say, no, we need these good qualities because only then people will be attracted. No, we need the good qualities to perform our devotional service. And so it's in performing devotional service that we have that commitment to trying to act according to the direction of the acharyas by that good qualities. Good qualities come as we become purified. So in Krishna, when we're Krishna conscious, then Krishna will allow these natural qualities to arise in the heart. So there's no separate method. It's not that. So outside of devotional service, you can't develop the qualities. And it's just by the qualities, then you're engaged in devotional service. They go together. So they aren't a goal as such. They are just part of the process. So when our goal is serving Krishna, then these things become manifest in the heart and we're able to perform our activities with these good qualities. So we see is that willpower and good qualities go together. So if your willpower is pious, your qualities will be pious. Your willpower is non-pious, then the qualities will be as such also. But if our willpower is devotional, then that means the qualities that will develop will be devotional, will be spiritual. Gunamani means the jewel of all qualities. So Nitai Gunamani Amar, Nitai Gunamani. He is repeatedly uttering that Lord Nityananda is the reservoir of all good qualities. Arniya Premera Vandya Bashailo Avani. And on account of his spiritual qualities, he inundated the whole world by the flood of love of God. It is by his kindness people can feel what is love of God. Premera Vandya Loya Nitai Aila Gauradesh. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home and took sannyas, he made his headquarters at Jagannath Puri. So after his accepting the sannyas order, he left his home and country. Lord Nityananda Prabhu also accompanied him up to Jagannath Puri. Oh, when he left, yes. So after a few days, Lord Chaitanya requested him that, if both of us remain here, then who will preach in Bengal? Bengal is known as Gauradesh. So under the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought from him the flood of love of Godhead, and he distributed in the whole of Bengal, Gauradesh. Right? So Lord Chaitanya is that reservoir of love of God, because he's taking that mood of his devotee. And so then Lord Nityananda, then being there in Puri, then he cut a channel from there to Bengal, and in that way then brought that love of Godhead to Bengal and distributed it. And in that flood of love of God, all devotees became drowned. Only those who were not devotees, they could not drown, but they were floating. Dina Hina Bache. But so far, Nityananda Prabhu is concerned, he does not make any discrimination between devotees and non-devotees. Dina hina patita pamara nahi ache. Poor or rich or enlightened or foolish, everyone should take the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and become drowned in the ocean of love of Godhead. Such love of Godhead as Brahmar Durlabha, even Lord Brahma, who is the supreme teacher within this universe, he also cannot relish. But by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, this love of Godhead was distributed to everyone without any discrimination. So, Abhadda Karuna Sindhu, it was just like a big ocean blocked all sides. Ocean of love of Godhead is a big ocean, but it was not inundated. So Nityananda Prabhu cut a channel, a canal from the ocean, and he brought the canal in every door. Gare gare bhule prema amiyara bhan. The flood of nectar of love of Godhead was thus distributed in each and every home in Bengal. Actually, still Bengal is overwhelmed when there is talk of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Lochan Bole, now the author is speaking on his behalf. That anyone who does not take advantage given by Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So in his opinion, he thinks that such a person knowingly is committing suicide. Srila Prabhupada, September 24th, 1972, Los Angeles. Right, so Lord Chaitanya is bringing this love of God. Lord Nityananda is distributing his contents. So if someone takes advantage of this, then that is very perfect. But if not, then he says it's like drinking poison. Because otherwise, we're just absorbed in the material energy. Okay, verse 3. Those devotees to whom the responsibility was given to continue spreading this flood of love somehow became overpowered by Maya and were thus reduced to simply performing ritualistic Hindu ceremonies for the benefit of the materialists. Right? Because these you have to see is that, yes, you do the rituals and all that for the Hindus community, and they give a return. You know, they give some donations and they give some, you know, things like this. And so, but if one focuses on that, then you become basically a ritualistic Brahmin, which is a problem. So one wants to avoid that. Same time, you want to avoid going in the other direction, you know, where one makes excuses on how you can get out of doing everything because we chant. So we see this, you know, even in the Western religious, you know, the systems of piety and impiety, that the Sadducees, then they were the ones who got into the rituals and were totally into the rituals for the material benefit they would get and the authority they would have. And so then rejecting that, you know, trying to move on, the Pharisees, then they wanted to make it more accessible. But in so doing, they just, you know, tend to not follow the rules at all like that. So in other words, it's niyamagraha, niyamagraha. Is that one follows the rules too, you know, just for the sake of the rule and the benefit, and the other then rejects the rule because they don't really understand what it's for. Or in following the rule, so-called strictly, they follow it in their own method, not necessarily in the original form or for the purpose that it was meant. In other words, all rituals are meant to develop love for God. So if that's going on, then that's being followed properly. But if it's not, you're simply just maintaining yourself. Then it's not really doing the work it's supposed to. So one has to be careful of this. You know, so the point, like Brahma didn't make the life members, money comes in, but the point was is to bring those members close to ISKCON and take advantage of the association. That's why he said you could stay in the temple for free. So it's staying in the temple for free means you're going to stay there, take prasad, associate with devotees, go to the temple program, hear from devotees, discuss with devotees. And so the idea is that brings you closer to Krishna. It's not about the money. So if then one does that, then it's only for the money and you have programs just to please them so that they're happy to give money. It means the activities are going on properly, but the purpose has been reversed. In other words, you're taking the money so they value it, so they'll value the association. But we're giving association so they'll give us money. So it becomes reversed. One has to be careful. 4. Lord Nityananda's inundation of prema was thus completely stopped by those known as Jati Gosai, caste Goswami. But then you personally came, O Master, to open wide the floodless floodgates once again. Again, you engulfed everyone in the deluge of pure divine love, even such a low, wretched, fallen, and sinful soul as myself. On the strength of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's command, you sent all of your servants as spiritual masters, going from door to door just to deliver the fallen souls, right? So here's what are they going? What are they delivering? The knowledge of Krishna, you know, the holy name. That's the whole point of spiritual master. It means you are someone who gives someone instructions and directions in spiritual life, how to engage themselves in that way. 7, the devotees were enthusiastically preaching everywhere, from the oceans to the Himalaya mountains. But now that you have gone from our midst, everything today has become very dark. O Srila Prabhupada, you personally suffered to see the suffering of the fallen conditioned souls. On this day of your separation, I am utterly despondent. Second octet. The merciful flood has been stopped. Just as Advaita Prabhu had prayed fervently and thus induced Sri Gauranga to descend, so did your father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, pray for you to incarnate. Due to Bhaktivinoda's eagerness, O Master, you came and proclaimed to everyone that India is the most holy land of the Lord's divine pastimes. Three, quote, one who has taken birth in the land of Bharat Bhumi, India, should first make his own life successful and then work for the benefit of all other people. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 941. Right. Yeah. Footnote 3. Srila Prabhupada comments on Adi 941 as follows. The magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressed in this very important verse. Although he is born in Bengal and Bengalis therefore have a special duty towards him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing not only Bengalis, but all the inhabitants of India. It is in the land of India that actual human civilization can be developed, right? Because it just has a natural inclination that to follow the Vedic, the tradition and everything. So the lifestyle itself is much more conducive for spiritual life in that it's more close to the regulate means Krishna's instructions in the Vedas. So that's why then for them, it's natural. They're already following that lifestyle and they can take and benefit others. One could say, oh, that's only for India. But then the difficulty comes is that the planet works on the same laws. So for human beings on this planet, they have the same rules. So therefore, you can get the benefit from those rules. And one can say is, no, but in the West, you have to do as Westerners do. But then the difficulty comes up is that you have the aspect of, but then if Indians come to the West, by that logic, they shouldn't be able to function. They would not be successful. They would go to the West and live their Indian lifestyle and deal in their Indian ways. And, it wouldn't work. Spiritually, it wouldn't work. Materially, it wouldn't work. It would be a failure. And then they'd all go back to India, you know, as it is, as you see today. Every last single Indian that there is, you know, on this planet are all within the borders of the Indian state, right? Isn't that true, right? Yeah. So, but the problem is with that perspective is that we see the Indians living their lifestyle and values in the West become, they can still continue their spiritual life and they're materially successful. So this then points out that no, the planet is meant for human life. Human life is then practiced in India. If you say is, oh, we're not Indians, we're from the West, then what we're saying is we're not human, we're subhuman, we're malechas and yamanas. So we're not actually on the human platform. And because I'm attached to the non-human platform, therefore I will live the non-human lifestyle. And so I don't want to live the human lifestyle because then I might be, my consciousness might be raised and I might develop an affinity for following human practices. So these aren't just ordinary, mundane activities, as some foolish persons will try to establish that, okay, we're living here, we're doing our things, they're living there, doing their things, we're material, they're material, so this material goes there and this one goes here. You know, so if that's the case, then that means outside of France, you know, and Milan, basically then no one anywhere else in the world could wear those clothes successfully. But somehow or other, people are very happy to wear the clothes that are not their clothes. You know, they're made up by French people, worn by French people. The reason that it becomes, you become interested in it because it's worn by someone or directed by someone from that community. And when you see an ordinary person wearing it, it doesn't look attractive anymore. That's when it falls out of fashion, right? So then you can say, yes, that's localized. But here the thing is we're talking human life. So if you're interested in human life, then that's the whole point. So Lord Chaitanya's point is those who are humans, it's their duty to preach this Krishna consciousness. And of those, especially the Bengalis, because they're human and they know about Lord Chaitanya. So then that makes it even easier. So then by that influence, then the rest of India then takes up that mood, and then India then influences the world. So that's what Prabhupada said. What happens today in Bengal, then tomorrow the rest of the is India does, and then what India does, the rest of the world follows after that. That's how it works. And if you use the reverse of that, then you don't actually understand human life, the Vedic system, you know, Krishna's culture and Krishna's, you know, activities and all that. And if you try to say, no, but Krishna is like us, then we can understand that that's a purely inductive approach like that. So here is that it's about that. And then we see it's about the individual. You make your own life successful by becoming Krishna conscious, and then work for the benefit of all others. So the individual being Krishna conscious is the main thrust of this movement, of Lord Chaitanya's movement, is the individual is Krishna conscious. How do you do that in association with devotees? So to make that association there, therefore you have the society, community, and all the facilities that are there. So your facilities are institutional facilities or institutionally directed facilities or concepts for individuals to take part in the Krishna conscious movement. It's never at any point becomes an impersonal, just a group. It's always made up of individuals. As soon as we bring it down to just that group, then again, now we've strayed from that development of the individual in Krishna consciousness. And so then we fall again into the you know, modern trap of just demographics rather than actual individual development. Okay. Human life is especially meant for God realization, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Anyone who takes birth in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, has a special privilege of being able to take advantage of the instruction and guidance of the Vedic civilization. He automatically receives the basic principles of spiritual life. For 99.9% of the Indian people, even simple village farmers and others who are neither educated nor sophisticated, believe in the transmigration of the soul, believe in past and future lives, believe in God, and naturally want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative. These ideas are the natural inheritance of a person born in India. India has many holy places of pilgrimage, such as Gaya, Banaras, Mathura, Prayag, Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rameshwara, and Jagannath Puri, and still people go there by the hundreds and thousands. Although the present leaders of India are influencing the people not to believe in God, not to believe in a next life, and not to believe in a distinction between pious and impious life, and although they are teaching them how to drink wine, eat meat, and become supposedly civilized, people are nevertheless afraid of the four activities of sinful life, namely illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. And whenever there is a religious festival, they gather together by thousands. We have actually experienced this. Whenever the Krishna conscious movement holds a Sankirtan festival in a big city like Calcutta, Bombay, Madras, Ahmedabad, or Hyderabad, thousands of people come to hear. Sometimes we speak in English, but even though most people do not understand English, they nevertheless come to hear us. Even when imitation incarnations of Godhead speak, people gather in the thousands. For everyone who is born in the land of India has a natural spiritual inclination and is taught the basic principles of spiritual life. They merely need to be a little more educated in the Vedic principles. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says here, Janma Sartak Kari Kara Para Upakar. If an Indian is educated in the Vedic principles, he is able to perform the most beneficial welfare activity for the entire world. Verse 4. This is the most significant message of Lord Chaitanya that you boldly preached everywhere. But now in your absence, O Master, everything has fallen into darkness, right? So he's bringing out this point that this point of of Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has taken that essential point of preaching, especially from India and going abroad and preaching in India and all around India to establish these things. You know, he had 64 mutts in India and then he was sending people abroad. Right? Footnote 4. Whenever an acharya comes, following the superior orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative, he establishes the principles of religion as enunciated in Bhagavad Gita. Religion means abiding by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Religious principles begin from the time one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the acharya's duty to spread a bona fide religious system and induce everyone to bow down before the Supreme Lord. One executes the religious principles by rendering devotional service, specifically the 9 items like hearing, chanting, and remembering. Unfortunately, when the acharya disappears, rogues and non-devotees take advantage and immediately begin to introduce unauthorized principles in the name of so-called swamis, yogis, philanthropists, welfare workers, and so on. Actually, human life is meant for executing the orders of the Supreme Lord. And this is stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:34. Manmanabhava madpakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Mam evaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanam. Engage your mind always in thinking of me and become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. The main business of human society is to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times, to become his devotees, to worship the Supreme Lord and to bow down before him. The acharya, the authorized representative of the Supreme Lord, establishes these principles. But when he disappears, things once again become disordered. The perfect disciples of the acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. At the present moment, practically the entire world is afraid of rogues and non-devotees. Therefore, this Krishna conscious movement is started to save the world from irreligious principles. Everyone should cooperate with this movement in order to bring about actual peace and happiness in the world. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:28-48
purport. Maharaj?
Yes.
Can we say that the duty that Lord Chaitanya said about the Indian people, duty, the same duty for the member of the ISKCON movement?
Yes, of course. In other words, someone who knows and is practicing is specifically their duty to become perfect in that and distribute that to others.
Yes.
So yes, it's for all devotees.
So it means every devotee must be convinced with education about that principle.
Yes, yes.
And understand quite deeply the meaning of the principle.
Yes, yes. Yes. So that's why we don't also have a problem preaching to the West. I mean, in the West, to the Indians that are there.
Yes.
You know, because the point is they're the ones that naturally would take up and do this work.
Yes.
Right? You know, at the same time, as we don't just focus on them just to collect money and ignore the locals, because then it doesn't, okay, maybe it develops in the Indian community, but the point is the Indian community becoming Krishna conscious in the West, they're supposed to help develop the community, you know, further in the Indian and the community around them.
Yes.
Right. So some take it as, no, we're only supposed to teach our Westerners, not Indians. But the Indians are supposed to be doing that.
Yes.
So if they're not, then we can get them to help do it. Like Prabhupada would bring the Western devotees to India because Indians were getting distracted by the West. Prabhupada brought Western devotees to India to show that, no, they're already interested in Krishna consciousness. What about you? But then the idea, once you do that, then they start to practice it themselves and then help others. Mm-hmm. So in either way, the point is someone who's taken up Krishna consciousness, naturally then they'll continue. Mm-hmm. And then they practicing themselves, then they will also then try to help others also practice. Right? Because perfect means it's connected to Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So until you've developed prema, only then you start chanting, you preach. some sahajiyas and that, they talk like that. But the point is no, it's that perfect means connected to Krishna. So if your life is connected to Krishna in any way, you can preach in that way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's supposed to have like a cooperation between Indian people and devotee. It's supposed to have cooperation, especially in the West.
Yeah, supposedly. But at the same time, as you have to see is that it's not about the materialistic aspect. You know, it's not about the ritualistic aspect.
Yes.
So you can't get the Indians in the West can't, you know, it means in the West, you can't get distracted by the Western facilities and position and everything. Yes. At the same time, you don't get distracted by the Vedic rituals.
Yes.
So in other words, how much the Acharyas have given us, we follow that for our benefit. And in that way, and others benefit by being taught how to apply those in their life.
Yes.
Right? And at the same time is you work within the facilities there, but it's not about the facilities. You're preaching at a university because that's where people are. Mm-hmm. You know, if there was no one at the university, you know, it was just full of pigeons or something, then if all the people were sitting down in the square, we'd be down there preaching. Right? So it's not that the university is important. People at the university think they're important. And so important people should be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Right? So they think they're important. So then do the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because these other things are temporary. You have the intelligence, you rise within in the world in that capacity, or from that you also get the material facilities and that. But then the difficulty comes up is that at some point, then you're going to have a decline, you know, and then you die, and you can't take it with you. So if it's so important, then the difficulty comes up, and it's lost. So why would you want to put full endeavor into something that's lost? Why wouldn't you want to work in such a way that it can have an eternal effect? So therefore, devotional service becomes the important aspect. Right, you know, and then you won't have the distractions of people thinking that their own particular non-Krishna conscious culture is important, you know, an attachment to that rather than looking at no sense. It's about accepting what's favorable and rejecting what's unfavorable. Therefore, what's favorable for developing Krishna consciousness that I do. Rejecting what's unfavorable. So therefore, mundane identities, mundane mentalities, those must be rejected. That's the main difficulty. And then those facilities, external facilities that are useful, you use them. If they're not useful, you don't use them. So one time they might be useful, another time they're not. So whichever it is, that's what you use. But if you make a philosophy based on, no, these are useful, and then find an excuse how they're useful, then it becomes a difficulty. So you see this comes up, you know, in the non-Vedic cultures. They try to do this. They try to break it down. As we mentioned before, the Pharisees, then they break down the old tradition because it's ritualistic, right? In other words, if people get ritualistic, then you're going to get a reaction on this side. But if people are balanced and properly follow in time, place, and circumstance, then you don't get this divide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, you know, you don't see anybody in India coming up with the idea of, you know, Krishna Mumbai. No? You don't need it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the fun part. So that's you know, these are advantages for having been born in India, right? Because they're exposed to these things. But if they're not exposed to these things, then they don't have so much kind of an advantage, you know, like that, you know. That's the point. So if they're born in the West, then even if they're from an Indian background, then Prabhupada said they're locals, they're Westerners. But so therefore, as Westerners, then one should preach to them. Does that make sense?
Yes,
ma'am. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Then verse 5. The overflowing ocean of your compassion has once again been dammed up. This makes me feel as if a spear of great misery has indeed pierced my heart. Without Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message being spread, there is only confusion and upheaval in the movement. Seeing this situation, all the Vaishnavas are also feeling overwhelmed with the pangs of your separation. The spirit souls have once again been captured by Maya and plunged into absolute darkness. Desperately searching for relief, they are simply perishing in a fathomless ocean of anxiety. O Srila Prabhupada, you personally suffer to see the suffering of the fallen conditioned souls. And on this day of your separation, I am utterly despondent. Third octet, practical chanting and preaching. You instructed everyone you meet to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. You showed the example of continually reciting the Maha Mantra into their ears. You empowered everyone with the qualification to further distribute that holy name. But now, by the influence of Maya, there is only darkness on all sides. The souls who are truly attached to worshiping the Lord always sing a dance in joyful Sankirtan. Following the footsteps of their spiritual master, they deliver the whole world. But those who have no such qualification perform Nirjana Bhajan, or so-called confidential worship in a solitary place. Thus acting whimsically, all of them actually remain absorbed in personal sense gratification. Footnote 5. This Nirjan Bhajan, which is the silent worship of the Supreme Lord, is not possible for a neophyte devotee. Srila Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur never advised a neophyte devotee to go to a solitary place to engage in devotional service. Indeed, he has written a song in this connection. Dushtaman, Tumi Kishare Vaishnav. Pratishtara tare nirjanera gare tava hari nama kevala kaitava. My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but this is all cheating. Thus, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur advocated that every devotee, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, preach the bhakti cult, Krishna consciousness, all over the world. Only when one is mature can he sit in a solitary place and retire from preaching all over the world. Following this example, the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness now render service as preachers in various parts of the world. Now they can allow the spiritual master to retire from active preaching work. In the last stage of the spiritual master's life, the devotees of the spiritual master should take preaching activities into their own hands. In this way, the spiritual master can sit down in a solitary place and render Nirjan Bhajan, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:28-33 purport. Yeah, so the point is the Nirjan Bhajan, just sitting down in that, that's not going to be a good idea. Sometimes devotees think that on their own that they can just practice in this. They don't need association. They don't need to preach in that, or that preaching is not the higher principle. This is, right? You know, because Jiva Doya, therefore, is, the first principle. Then Vaishnav Seva is the second, but Nama Ruchi is the third principle. So that's the highest principle. That's it. Lord Chaitanya came to taste the mood of Radharani. So I will absorb myself in that. But unless you're then performing the other two, that third one won't come into play. The one won't taste and all that. So it's dependent on pleasing the Lord. So only if one has rendered so much service and this and that, then there might be some sitting down like this. But we don't see so much necessary vicharyas, yeah, spending so much time on this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think the last 2 years of his life like this. Srila Prabhupada, the last basically 24 hours, you know, and that was it. The last day, Prabhupada didn't interact with anybody. He just absorbed the Lord. So, but other than that, but still, he was surrounded by all his disciples. So it was, you know, he may have been absorbed in samadhi, but it wasn't, exactly a nirjan bhajan. So one has to be, understand that, no, it pleases the Lord to do these. We should absorb ourselves and focus ourselves in this way. Then it becomes very good. Otherwise, we just get distracted by what's nice for us. Yeah. 5. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33:30, an ordinary soul should never imitate the activities of the Supreme Lord, even in his mind. End quote. According to these destructions in devotional service, the unqualified imitators are ruined. You preach utility is the principle. That is, one should act without attachment and use anything that is deemed appropriate in the devotional service of the Lord. So some will say, see, utility is the principle, yukta vairagya. But generally the point is they take the yukta part and don't consider the vairagya. Because then the yukta is, yes, you know, we're Westerners, we use technology and all this, but there's an attachment for it. So when it's engaged in the Lord's service, that's the vairagya part. But if there's actually attachment for those materials and all that, then it can be a distraction. And so so that's why then also the advantage of the Vedic culture is that you're engaging the senses according to the Vedic direction. And so these engagements are pleasant. They're nice. They're comfortable, you know, on some aspect of the body, the mind, the words, like this. And so then one can be absorbed in that way, and everything can go very nicely. While the, you know, non-Vedic background and attachments, then many times those positions aren't necessarily very useful in the devotional development. And so then attachment to them can be quite an obstacle. It means in the beginning there's attachment, you engage them in Krishna service, you become purified. But maintaining that, then that's the 10th offense to the holy name, because it'll become a weed, an obstacle. But if one just starts from there, that's everyone starts from whatever their position is. You don't have to change your position to start. But as you develop, then you naturally will try to develop your affection for the Lord and give up these attachments. That's yukta vairagya. The two go together. Footnote 6. As long as one is covered by material desires, he thinks himself the master or the enjoyer. Thus, he acts for sense gratification and becomes subjected to material pains, happiness, and distress. But when one is freed from such a concept of life, he is no longer subjected to designations. And he envisions everything as spiritual connection with the Supreme Lord. Because as we mentioned, it starts with ourselves. So when we give up attachment to sense gratification, right, then we see everybody equally. So this idea of seeing everybody equally without giving up attachment is artificial, because then what happens is that equalness is only equal in the eyes of the beholder, right? Means is that only certain persons are equal and certain persons don't deserve to be equal, right? So that kind of aspect that becomes a very distracting, is because you can see is that equality is only within a certain group. It's not for people outside that group. And so then, and they make it very clear who's outside and try to keep them outside, you know. So, because otherwise then it's very hard to have a relative position if there's nothing to compare it to, right? You know, you don't hear them talking about, yeah, so the left and the middle, or the right and the middle. No, it's the left says this, the right says that. Does that make sense? So that's why even when they deal with us, they'll deal with us as we're the opposite. So those on the left will consider us right. And those on the right will consider us left. You know, so like that, it's because they have to look at it from duality. But duality disappears when there's no material affinity. So that's the way that you develop these very nice qualities, is by Krishna consciousness. If you develop Krishna consciousness, the good qualities naturally come. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.5. As anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjata nirbanda krishna sambande yukta vairagyam uchate. The liberated person has no attachment for anything material or for sense gratification. He understands that everything is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he does not give up anything, right? So we take it, no, you don't give that up because it can be used. But what about the mentality that goes with that? Why is it we don't give it up? We don't give it up as long as we don't have attachment for anything material or for sense gratification, that everything's connected with the Lord. And that everything should be engaged in the Lord's service. That means we don't give up anything. But if someone has an attachment for things too much, then that may be given up temporarily. You know, like we see the brahmachari, you know, he's attached to being in the home and being taken care of and, you know, doing nothing. So therefore, then he goes to the ashram and under the guidance of the teacher, then he learns to become self-sufficient. Then having been trained like that, then they can go back to the home environment and now be a useful member of the, you know, family and community. You know, so it's the same way, is that it's development of the good qualities is what allows you to work with these things. But that comes from this mentality of understanding everything's connected to Krishna. Everything's for Krishna's pleasure. It's not for my pleasure. That then creates yukta vairagya. Right? Not that I'm attached to technology, so I'm using it, and so therefore that's yukta vairagya. If you're using Krishna's service, it's yukta vairagya. But if you're not, it's not. So the point is, if you see everything connected to Krishna, you're always engaging everything connected to Krishna. Why just technology? You know, like that. There's no question of renouncing anything because the Paramahamsa knows how to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Originally, everything is spiritual. Nothing is material. It means that, you know, as we've discussed before, the material energy is one of Krishna's energies. So it is Brahman. Right? It is eternal energy, though its manifestation is temporary. Therefore, we call it false or illusion. But the point is it's all Krishna. So there, from the original mentality, there is only spiritual. There is not material. That's why when these great personalities come here, they don't become deluded by the material energy because they only see it as Krishna's energy. They see it in Krishna, it's spiritual. It's not superior spiritual energy, but it's still Krishna's energy. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8.274, also it is explained that a Mahabhagavata, a highly advanced devotee, has material vision. Stavara jangama deke na deke tara murti sarvatra hoy nija ishta deva spurti. Although he sees trees, mountains, and other living entities moving here and there, he sees all as the creation of the Supreme Lord, and with reference to the context, sees only the creator and not the created. In other words, he no longer distinguishes between the created and the creator. He sees only the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. He sees Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna. This is one. Srimad Bhagavatam 722, 722-29 purport. Right. So this is, he sees it's all Krishna's energies and all that. It's just all acting within Krishna. So Krishna's making everything work. That way he becomes disconnected from the material energy. And at the same time, as any aspect of the material energy, you know, that has a favorable application, he's able to use in the Lord's service. So it's not a separate mentality. It's one is able to do these things nicely. Seven, in such detached devotional service to Lord Krishna, there would be a temple established in every house. But now just the opposite situation is apparent everywhere. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, you personally suffered to see the suffering of the fallen conditioned souls. On this day of your separation, I am utterly despondent. Right. Fourth octet, the essential purport neglected. Right. So now we've had the, what is it? Third is practical chanting and preaching. Before that, the merciful flood has been stopped. The first, the flood of Krishna Prema. Then that merciful flood has been stopped. And then what is practical chanting and preaching? And how that essential purport is neglected. That brings us now to this next section. Where is the seven? Let's see. Okay, so then we'll stop here today. And we'll continue in the evening. Chaitanya Charitamrita at 4:00. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.